Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe. It is Friday, September 15th. I am in a league where one team scored 140 points last night. 140 points in one game. So, yeah, if you're facing a team like that, I mean, you're not alone. There is at least one team in my league who is facing, and it's not me, but wow. A wild start to the week. And of course, on today's podcast, we're going to go game by game, get you set up for the remainder of these games with some insight and some adjustments from Wednesday's rankings. So let's start it off with Green Bay and Atlanta. I do have Green Bay barely winning this game. Projected score 21.0 to 20.9. So basically a tie game. Of course, the biggest thing here that would ultimately change that, because I do have Aaron Jones in the mix, is if Aaron Jones doesn't play. As of right now, I do not have a Friday practice report, but if he goes DNP, then he almost certainly won't play. I know what your question is. What happens with A.J. Dillon? Here's your answer. He will move up into the top 15, so it'll be at least an RB2, like a front-end RB2 play. As for Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson looking like he may not play. And if he doesn't play, Romeo Doubs will move up into mid-range wide receiver three, if not like, I guess maybe front-end wide receiver three, because they'll be inside the top 30. We know that Jordan Love loves him. You know, they connected for two scores last week. So there's that. Luke Musgrave is not in play this week for me, although I do really like him in DFS. Moving to the other side, do I have any concerns about Atlanta in the backfield? No. They're going to be used, both Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson, one of the most run-heavy offenses in the league. They're both fine here. Bijan is an RB1 play still, and Algier is actually a flex play. Now, Drake London, I moved him down. He's at wide receiver 36. I get it if you don't want to play him. You do you. I am willing to give this one more week. I remember last year in week one, Devontae Smith had zero catches. He went off in, week three. Week two, he bounced back. So let's give this the benefit of the doubt with Drake London before we go do anything silly like drop him. Moving on to Vegas and Buffalo. I have Buffalo winning this 27.9 to 20.1. So heavily favored here, as you would expect. On the Vegas side, I think the number one thing here, Jacoby Myers, looks like he will be missing this contest. I don't have a Friday report, but I can tell you he went DNP, DNP in concussion protocol. That almost certainly means he's out. So Devontae Adams should see a lot of work. Even though it's not an amazing matchup with Tre'Davious White on the other side, he should see a lot of work. If you're worried about Josh Jacobs, I know the performance wasn't particularly good, but the volume was there, and that's all that really matters. 21 touches. That's what matters here first and foremost. So I'm cool with him. I'm cool with pretty much everything on the other side. Love me some Allen and Diggs. Gabe Davis with his ceiling. And James Cook is up to RB15 for me this week. Led the backfield in touches, 16. Led the backfield in snaps, 41. Damian Harris barely used, played 9 offensive snaps. Latavius Murray, 15 offensive snaps. This is all James Cook, and a big breakout game is brewing. Why not have it happen against one of the league's worst defenses? Baltimore and Cincinnati. Cincinnati, 25.1 points. Baltimore, 22.3. So, yes, I have the Bengals bouncing back after an ugly week one performance. Another divisional game here. And I do like pretty much everybody. After last week, yeah, I know you may have some concerns over Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, 8 targets, no catches. No concerns about any of these guys. I'm basically starting them if I have them. Burrow, Chase, Mixon, and T. Higgins. On the other side, obviously the big question, what do we do with the backfield in Baltimore? My answer right now is proceed with caution. Yes, Justice Hill does have a higher ceiling than Gus Edwards. Yes, I did recommend him as the better waiver ad, but only barely. And that doesn't guarantee that Gus Edwards doesn't significantly out-touch Justice Hill. So here's where I have them. RB 34 and 35. I technically have Edwards one spot ahead, but it is a bit of a mess. So I am proceeding with caution with this backfield and trying to avoid it until we get some clarity. Usually that is the best move that I've found. Mark Andrews, I do actually have a Friday practice report here. He will be back, so that's good. All is right with the world. You can drop Isaiah Likely, all right? And Lamar, I'm still bullish on. That was only the sixth time in his career where he didn't have a passing touchdown or a rushing touchdown. So I think he bounces back as well. Seattle, Detroit. I have Detroit 25.9 to Seattle 22.3. So Detroit winning by about 3.5 points there. Geno Smith. All right, I know last week wasn't great, but if you drafted him, you drafted him as part of a quarterback committee, and that's fine. If you have an upside guy like Anthony Richardson, all right, go with the Anthony Richardson, but don't drop Smith just yet. Let's see how he performs in a much better matchup against this Detroit defense. I'm going back to the well with DK, with Tyler Lockett. Not quite there with Jaxon Smith-Njigba yet. Ken Walker continues to be a fringe RB1. On the other side, though, the matchup is phenomenal. Like Jared Goff, QB12. Amon-Ra, wide receiver 4, go figure. Sam Laporta, tight end 9. But the backfield is where I want to key in on. I have Montgomery at RB13, Gibbs at RB14. Now, I do not expect Gibbs to see significantly more touches than he saw last week. This is simply a product of a fantastic matchup. Gibbs was awesome last week, by the way. Watch that game back. He was so much fun. Had 7 carries, forced 6 missed tackles in those 7 carries. Ridiculous. 4.9 yards after contact per attempt. This is a defense that gave up 3 rushing touchdowns last week. 2 to Kyren Williams, 1 to Cam Akers. Monty and Gibbs are in a really great spot here. So like them both. Moving on to the Chargers and Tennessee Titans. I have the Chargers 24.6, Tennessee 21.9. So just under a 3-point spread there for me in this contest. On the LA side, yes, all eyes are on Austin Eckler. Here's what I know right now. He did not practice on Wednesday. He did not practice on Thursday. There are some rumblings out there that this is a high ankle, but a mild high ankle. So instead of a 4 to 6 week, it's a 1 to 2 week. But it could be a 1 to 2 week. What does that mean? Well, if he goes DNP today, you might even know this by the time you're listening to it. If he goes DNP today, he may be questionable, but he would look to be unlikely to play. Joshua Kelly would move up to around about top 15 territory. Might even be slightly higher than that, but I have to be clear. The run defense that he is facing is very good. The pass defense, not so much. But the run defense is very good, this Tennessee defense. So I actually really like Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams to bounce back here. If you have Austin Eckler, don't freak out. Just have a plan in place. And if you have to execute the plan, execute the darn plan. On the other side, DeAndre Hopkins also not looking good here. Friday practice report not out for Tennessee as I'm recording this. I swear I know how to talk. So he went DNP so far. If he doesn't go, Treylon Burks will move up, but he won't move up into DeAndre Hopkins territory. He won't get the same amount of volume. So more like a wide receiver 3 play, looking for Ryan Tannehill to bounce back. But honestly, I think this is just going to be a lot of Derrick Henry. And I know some people were concerned that Tajay Spears outsnapped Derrick Henry. Sure. But Derrick Henry outtouched Tajay Spears 18-4. So I'm not too worried there. Chicago and Tampa, believe it or not, Tampa favored 21.1 to 19.8. Did I just become a Bucs fan? I don't know. Maybe. All right. Let's talk about the Chicago side first and foremost. I'm going to go back to the well with Justin Fields and DJ Moore this week. But I did get some people saying, yo, why is Khalil Herbert ranked ahead of Roschon Johnson? Well, I will explain. Khalil Herbert had 12 touches last week, Roschon 11, Deontay Foreman 7. As I said in the podcast earlier in the week, that means that's a full-blown committee. And I'm going to go with the guy who projects to see the most touches. That's the guy who's going to score the most in my projections model. Now, I'm not overly bullish here. It's a bad matchup because this Bucs defense is no joke against the run. So Herbert is only a possible flex play at RB33. Roschon stays on the bench, but boy, I like Roschon a lot. I'm just not forcing him into lineups just yet. On the other side, Baker figuring out the Vikings defense. And while I may not use him outside of some super flex leagues this week, I like the fact that we may be sustaining some value from Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. How about Rashad White, though? I like the matchup a lot. This is a defense, a Bears defense, that allowed a big day to Aaron Jones, who last week, and Rashad White basically didn't leave the field last week. Played 54 snaps for the Bucs last week. So I like the spot for him. RB17. Kansas City, Jacksonville, the projected highest scoring game of the week. KC 27.6 to Jacksonville 23.8. On the KC side, Travis Kelce will be back. That is confirmed. Giddy up, because I will tell you that passing game looked dreadful without him. Love both he and Patrick Mahomes getting back reunited. It feels so darn good. I've mentioned this several times. I want nothing to do with the Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers until further notice, because they are using all seven of them and the ball is getting spread around. On the other side, kind of start them if you got them for a lot of these guys. Trevor Lawrence, Calvin Ridley, both top 10 plays at their respective positions, as is Travis Etienne. I have Lawrence QB6, Etienne RB9, Ridley wide receiver 8. Also worth noting, Evan Ingram, a top 10 option, tight end 7. I thought he looked great last week. Now, the thing I'm going to be keeping an eye on is the usage for Christian Kirk. If he continues to not be used in 11 or in 12 personnel, that is, in two wide receiver sets, then we are really going to have to reevaluate where we are on him. Indianapolis, Houston, I have Indy favored by a point, 20.5 to Houston, 19.5. Anthony Richardson passed the first test as far as I'm concerned. QB4 last week. He's in a good spot against this defense that does allow a lot on the ground. However, if I have Anthony Richardson and I drafted a safe option, I am still keeping that safe option on my roster. I need a good month to figure out whether Anthony Richardson really passes the test. Zach Moss is going to be back this week, but the matchup is good. But I don't want to use him. I don't want to use him. I can't guarantee it's going to be all Zach Moss. I don't know how much Deion Jackson they're going to use. And honestly, part of maintaining sanity in fantasy football is avoiding these situations that will drive us insane. This is one of those situations, so I'm avoiding it. On the other side, actually dig Nico Collins. He's right on the fringe of wide receiver 3 territory, but I really like what we saw out of him last week. But really the main focus is Damian Pierce, and it was great that he outsnapped Devin Singletary 35-15. That tells me this is not a committee. It's more Pierce is the lead back. Singletary is going to spell him. Singletary up at RB19 in a favorable spot this week. San Francisco and the Rams. San Francisco 27.2 to 19.8 for the Rams. Of course, the Rams did surprise last week, but San Francisco looked like one of the best offenses in the NFL. Brock Purdy, as steady as they go, actually benefits not... You know, it's not only because he runs the offense well. He has yak monsters in Debo, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey. All of those guys are good plays this week, as you know. But Purdy, QB13, is the best streaming option in one quarterback leagues of the week this week. On the other side, Puka Nacua popping up on the injury report because we can't have nice things. With an obliques injury, went DNP on Thursday. That's not a good sign. Keep an eye out for him. If he does not go, I am not using like Tutu Atwell or something like that. It's just too darn risky. As far as Kyren Williams and Cam Akers are concerned, I have Williams at 36, Akers at 39. Why Akers at 39? He had 22 carries last week. I don't think that McVay is going away from this, but I don't want to use either of these guys this week because this run defense is very good. They completely stifled the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, so I would be very careful on Kyren Williams this week. New York Giants, Arizona Cardinals have the Giants winning 22.5 to 17.4, so pretty heavily favored there. There is not much to this game, so here's my take. Saquon, sure. Darren Waller said he's playing. Great. They're both in. James Conner, RB2, good. Maybe Marquise Brown as a flex, but the only other player who's actually in, and believe it or not, he is in the top 12 quarterbacks, is Daniel Jones. Why? Very good running quarterback, faces a defense that allowed a passing score and a rushing score to a quarterback last week in Sam Howell, and I do think Daniel Jones is better than Sam Howell, so there you go. And by the way, Sam Howell was quarterback 12 last week, so I'm ranking Jones basically in like pretty much the same place. Jets and Dallas. I have Dallas winning 23.6 to 16.0. And yes, I felt a great disturbance in the force this past Monday night, as if millions of Jets fans suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced. Yes, the Aaron Rodgers season-ending injury. Ugh. Death Star, man. Zach Wilson brings everybody down. Garrett Wilson goes all the way down to wide receiver 22. I have Breece Hall currently at RB 26. Now, not really because of Zach Wilson, and certainly not because of how he played in week one, because he looked awesome. It's more about Dalvin Cook outtouched him 16 to 11. So I'm going to continue to sort of temper expectations for Breece Hall. I don't mind the spot for him, though, especially because, you know, Tony Pollard did well in it in this matchup last week. It's just how much Dalvin Cook do we continue to see? But Breece Hall is a flex play. On the other side, I'm going to exercise caution with Dak Prescott because I don't think they have to throw the ball again in this one to win. And I know people are going to freak out and want to drop him. If I drafted him, I'm exercising that caution. Washington and Denver, I have Washington 22.0 to Denver 18.6. There are going to be Brian Robinson weeks. There are going to be Antonio Gibson weeks. Last week I said it was going to be a Brian Robinson week, and it was. This week, based on the game script, going to be a Brian Robinson week. Keep that in mind with if you have Antonio Gibson. I'm not overboard with Brian Robinson, by the way. I have him at RB 29, but keep that in mind if you have Antonio Gibson. On the other side, well, Javonte Williams looked very good in the opener. He outtouched Samaje Perine 17 to 12. However, they did play even snaps 29-29. Williams, RB 24 in this contest, trending up, but still not quite like locked in. Because Samaje Perine is going to continue to be used. He's at RB 32. Jerry Jeudy should be back this week. If he is back, as it looks like he will be, then he's a fringe wide receiver 3 play. Although I want to see what he looks like first before we really feel confident in using him. Miami, New England. I have Miami winning 25.3 to New England 21.2. What do we get as an encore from Tua and Tyreek? We know Belichick's going to try and at least contain them, and I think that's all you can really do. I will say Raheem Mostert, RB 25, that Patriots run defense is good, is very good. On the other side, be careful with Juju Smith-Schuster. There's some rumblings that he's on the outs, and he may be like wide receiver 5 for this team in short order. So be very careful there. What I'm going to key in on is Ramondre Stevenson. Last week, Miami got torched by Austin Ekeler and Joshua Kelly. Well, this week it's Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe Zeke and DFS, but Stevenson I have up at RB 11. He outtouched Zeke 18 to 12. He outsnapped him 58-27 last week. Like this spot a lot for Ramondre. New Orleans, Carolina. I have New Orleans winning 20.6 to 18.7. So relatively close there. Not a ton of fantasy takeaways here. You know you're starting Olave. You likely know you're starting Michael Thomas. I have him at wide receiver 31. I'm a little pessimistic on Rashid Shaheed. I have him at wide receiver 49. So more of a DFS option. But let's focus on Jamal Williams. No Alvin Kamara. Kendre Miller should be back this week. It looks like he's at least trending to be back with a limited practice to start the week. However, I think we're going to just see a bunch of Williams. And let's not forget that last week the Falcons ran all over this defense. On the Panther side, there's one startable option. That's it. Miles Sanders. 22 touches in the opener. That's it. He's the starter. Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Okay, well, on the Cleveland side, we know we're using Nick Chubb. I hope we know we're using Amari Cooper. David Njoku's a top 10 option, but Deshaun Watson. I am exercising caution with him. Patience. I don't think he is a strong starting option this week at quarterback 15, but that could change after this week. I want to see him shake more of the rust off. On the other side, well, Najee Harris, RB 21. You're going to look at that. You're going to look at the performance last week. And if it's another down performance this week, you're going to think, why in the world did I draft this guy? Unless you avoided the RB dead zone, in which case you didn't draft him. But I digress. If that applies to you, just realize, last week he faced San Francisco, one of the best defenses in the NFL. And this week he's facing the Browns, who look to be one of the better defenses in the NFL. Be patient with Najee Harris. And don't do anything crazy if this week isn't particularly good. If you want all the rankings, you want all the projections, you want all the tools, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RADPACK for 10% off. And, of course, you can follow along with me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe. Enjoy the games this weekend, and I'll check back on Monday with the biggest takeaways from all this week's action. So I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.